Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we are back. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. The Penn State case involving that alleged sexual abuse of children by their former football defensive coordinator, Jerry Sandusky, still shocking and angering the country as some disturbing details emerge. To talk about how typical this case is and just what can be done to make sure these kinds of incidents are stopped, I'm joined by Marianne Boykin, an interview specialist and clinical supervisor at the Children's Assessment Center in Grand Rapids. Marianne interviews children to investigate sexual abuse. Welcome to the program, Marianne.
Thank you.
Now, the allegations are that this was an ongoing pattern by this man spanning many years and many victims. He is denying all of them. How does a situation involving such widespread abuse exist without being confronted?
A lot of sexual abuse exists without being confronted right now. People are concerned about getting involved. There are studies that are saying that 72% of Americans say it's difficult to identify child abuse, and 42% say if they suspected child abuse, but they just weren't sure. And many people say, one-third actually, say they don't want to report because they don't want to get involved. They're afraid of making a mistake.
Well, it certainly is a horrible thing to have happen and then to actually deal with. I mean, what are adults supposed to do if they have a suspicion but there's no real evidence of anything that they can point to?
Well, you having a suspicion, they're not investigators. That's the first thing that we always do. I mean, everyone's familiar with the term mandated reporter. And we all know that people that work with children are mandated by law to report suspicions of child abuse, not to investigate the cases, not to prove it, just to report suspicions. And I would say that all of us as adults have the moral obligation to report our suspicions of child abuse. We can't expect a child to protect themselves. That's why we have Child Protective Services. That's why we have law enforcement. You can contact Child Protective Services and make an anonymous phone call. You don't have to know for a fact. You just have to err on the side of caution, err on the side of the child.
Well, in this case in Penn State, it's a bit more shocking. I mean, you have an eyewitness to the case.
Yeah.
You had the university police aware of the situation. Is this way beyond the pale? I mean, have you seen anything like this where officials are essentially aware of this is happening and still no one takes direct action on it?
Well, you know, ultimately, these people may have told themselves that they did what they needed to do because they passed the buck to their supervisor. Every single person failed that child. They failed by not contacting Children Protective Services in Pennsylvania. They failed by just passing it on and thinking someone else was going to do something. This was shocking and horrific. You did have an eyewitness. I can't imagine what that eyewitness felt when he walked in on that scene. But it should have stopped long before that. My understanding is in 1998, when the first allegations were made against Sandusky, that there wasn't even a complete investigation and that they didn't do anything then. They enabled him to continue victimizing children.
I'm talking to Marianne Boykin, an interview specialist and clinical supervisor at the Children's Assessment Center in Grand Rapids. Marianne interviews children to investigate sexual abuse. So Marianne, when it comes to talking to children about these kinds of incredibly traumatic incidents, how can a parent or a specialist like yourself go about getting the child to discuss sexual abuse?
Well, if you're a parent and your child has been sexually abused, we always tell parents, let the child bring it to you. Lots of times when a child has already disclosed sexual abuse, the parent is not who they want to talk about it with. They want to talk about it with a counselor, someone that's not going home with them, someone that they're not going to have dinner with. But what all parents can do is talk to their children about body safety, about people not touching them, and about safe adults. Help your children identify at least three safe adults that they can tell. You know, parents will oftentimes talk to their kids once about no one should touch these parts of your body. But how many times do we have to remind our children to clean their room? once is not enough. Children won't retain that. We need to make it part of our normal conversation. Just open that door for communication with your kids.
Now, you say that typically you have to wait for the child to talk about it, but are there things a parent should look for, any signs that something could potentially be wrong?
There are different signs of things that could potentially be wrong. The problem with these signs is they're vague and they're attributable to many things. And for example, anxiety, increased anxiety. Well, that can certainly be a symptom of sexual abuse, but that can also be a symptom of being bullied at school or something else going on. Abnormal sexual behaviors or symptoms, that's an important one. Children have a variety of sexual behavior that is normal at each developmental stage. As parents, we don't want to think about our children as sexual beings, but they're sexual beings from an early age on. They explore. Mm-hmm. They play doctor. They play house. There are things that are normal. So know what is normal behavior for your child's age and know what is not normal behavior. What would be considered a yellow flag? What would be considered a red flag? Children having sexual knowledge beyond their years, well, that's a flag that they may have been exposed to something. It could have been anything from older kids talking at school, mm-hmm. pop-ups on the internet, inadvertently walking in on an inappropriate movie, to sexual abuse. There's a variety of things.
About a minute left. You know, some say pedophiles cannot change, that their desires remain permanent throughout their lifetime. Is that, in fact, the case from your understanding? And do they remain a permanent threat to children and society?
Well, pedophilia is a specific diagnosis in the DSM-IV-TR. So that is a psychiatric diagnosis. And we oftentimes interchange the term child molester and pedophile. Not every child molester is a pedophile. Some child molesters can have a variety of reasons for what they do. Oftentimes it's about power, not just about sex. But changing someone's sexual orientation is a difficult thing. So it's generally considered that a pedophile may learn how to control behavior, but will not change their sexual orientation.
I see. Marianne Boykin, an interview specialist and clinical supervisor at the Children's Assessment Center in Grand Rapids, thank you very much for joining me and giving us your insight.
Thank you for having me.